Chapter 30. "No," says he, with a sad shake of the head, and the poor fellow's hollow eyes filled with tears. "Good heavens, Denny! What's the matter?" said one. "He was squeezing my hand like a vice as I spoke. They've left me," he burst out with a dreadful shout of passionate grief, a horrible scream which seemed to be wrenched out of his heart. "F me," said he, sinking down on a seat, and clenching his great fists, and shaking his lean arms wildly. "I'm a wise man now, Mr. Fitzpoodle. Jemima has gone away from me, and yet you know how I loved her, and how happy we were. I've got nobody now, but I'll die soon, that's one comfort. And to think it's she that'll kill me after all." The story, which he told with a wild and furious lamentation such as is not known among men of our cooler country, and such as I don't like now to recall, was a very simple one. The mother-in-law had taken possession of the house, and had driven him from it. His property at his marriage was settled on his wife. As he had never loved him, and told him his secret at last, and drove him out of doors with her selfish scorn and ill temper. The boy had died. The girls were better, he said, brought up among the Malloys than they could be with him, and so he was quite alone in the world, and was living, or rather dying, on £40 a year. His troubles are very likely over by this time. The two fools who caused his misery will never read this history of him. They never read godless stories in magazines. And I wish, honest reader, that you and I went to church as much as they do. These people are not wicked, because of their religious observances, but in spite of them. They are too dull to understand humility, too blind to see a tender and simple heart under a rough ungainly bosom. They are sure that all their conduct towards my poor friend here has been perfectly righteous, and that they have given proofs of the most Christian virtue. Haggarty's wife is considered by her friends as a martyr to a savage husband, and her mother is the angel that has come to rescue her. All they did was to cheat him and desert him. And safe in that wonderful self-complacency with which the fools of this earth are endowed, they have not a single pang of conscience for their villainy towards him, consider their heartlessness as a proof and consequence of their spotless piety and virtue. Footnotes. 1. The words of this song are copyright, nor will the copyright be sold for less than 2 pence halfpenny. 2. A French proverb furnished the author with the notion of the rivalry between the barber and the tailor. 3. As it is very probable that many fair readers may not approve of the extremely forcible language in which the combat is depicted, I beg them to skip it, and pass on to the next chapter, and to remember that it has been modeled on the style of the very best writers of the sporting papers. 4. Every person who has lived abroad can, of course, point out a score of honorable exceptions to the case above hinted at, and knows many such unions in which it is the Frenchman who honors the English lady by marrying her. But it must be remembered that marrying in France means commonly fortune hunting. And as for the respect in which marriage is held in France, let all the French novels in M. Rolandi's library be perused by those who wish to come to a decision upon the question. End of the Project Gutenberg text of Men's Wives, by Thackeray. MNWVS by Gutenberg Edition.